The message this morning is titled, To Stand in the Gap. We need people to stand in the gap. In Ezekiel chapter 22, it was a low point in Jerusalem. I think we can say that about our country as well. I'm not saying it won't get any lower. It probably will. But when you look at our country today, things are not getting better. People are not becoming more Christ-like. Churches are not getting better. It's pretty sad when, I don't even know if I should say this, but I was driving out of town today, and my first thought, I saw a, I don't know if they call them that around here, a honey wagon, spreading its manure around on the fields. And I thought, my first thought was this: in many churches today, that's a picture of what's coming out of the preacher's mouths today, is that there are so many churches that are not preaching the Word of God faithfully. And that's a sad picture. And so much of the leaders of our day are spewing filth out of their mouth. The things that they are promoting today as truth is filth. It's manure. And our country is at a low point. And our churches are at a low point in history. And it's such a burden on me. I talked about this in Sunday school a little bit. To preach the Word of God is an amazing thing, but it's also, as I study at times, it's just like such a pressure to consider that I'm proclaiming God's Word and I want to get it right. I don't want to be spewing garbage or filth. I want to proclaim the truth. And sometimes that's really scary. It's really scary as a pastor to wonder about and consider what I'm saying to the people. And in this passage, we see that the people were living in sin from the king, as we read that. People are living in sin from the king down to the common people. And that rightly describes our nation today. For the most part, our country is sin from the top down. In all these verses going forward, all the groups of people are identified with sinful practices. Let's just start again and read, starting in verse 23, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, so this is God's words. This is what God is saying to Ezekiel. And Ezekiel passes on to the Jews. Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets. So the first group called out are the prophets. Those are the men who are to be proclaiming God's truth to the people, or giving God's revelation at that point to the people. They are to be saying, thus saith the Lord. And so there's a conspiracy, though, among the prophets in the midst thereof. Like a roaring lion ravening the prey, they have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. So the prophets were not saying, thus saith the Lord. They were devouring souls, the exact opposite of what they should have been doing. And we see that so much in, it's not Christianity, but what's called Christianity today. You have all these people that are getting rich with their pyramid schemes, where they're driving Ferraris and they have these huge mega ministries, and they're living in mansions, and they're getting all these poor people to send their money. They're devouring souls. They are calling for, oh, you just got to send your money and help us with this. And then they're, like I say, driving Ferraris and living in mansions, and they don't care about the sheep. They don't care about the souls. And then it says, it goes on, her priests have violated my law. They have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. So the priests were breaking all the rules. They weren't keeping the law. They were acting out as they were playing a game. They were acting like priests, but they weren't following God's law. And God says, I'm profaned among them. Verse 27, her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey. And in other words, it's the picture of wolves going in and tearing apart their prey. To shed blood and to destroy souls and to get dishonest gain. So the princes are destroying the people. You see that today, that the leadership in our countries and those who put in charge, they don't care about the people. They are trying to destroy the people so they can make their own ways. And they're like wolves going after their own people to shed blood and to destroy souls and to get dishonest gain. They're not worried about the people. And I'm not saying every single one, obviously. There are probably some good leaders out there. But overall in our country, we see this the same. They're out to get dishonest gain. How do you go in? We have so many leaders that go in and they're not rich and they are in there for 10 years and then they're multimillionaires. They're in there for their own gain and they want to destroy people. I'm not saying they went in there like that. Maybe some of them went in with good ideas, but they're destroying the people, and they're in it for gain. And her, again, it says, and her prophets have daubed with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. So the prophets are working with untempered mortar. The things they're building are worthless. The things they're trying to build are worthless. And they have spoken, they keep saying this is what the Lord has to say when that's not what the Lord has to say. And we see that over and over again in churches today. This is what God's saying, but that's not at all what God said. And then verse 29, the people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and the needy, yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. So the people of the land are just as bad as those who govern them. The people of land have they fight against each other basically. And if there's a stranger in the land, somebody who's not a Jew, they oppress them too. They're out after their blood as well. And this was the group of people that verse 30 says, God says, and I sought for a man among them. Today in our nation, God seeks for a man among them. God is doing the same thing today. I mean, we see Bible colleges not filled with men wanting to go into the ministry, young men want to go into the ministry, empty of young men wanting to go into the ministry. I remember when I went to Northland, there were multiple young married couples wanting to go into the ministry. There were, I don't know how many young couples there were when we were there, wanting to go into the ministry, wanting to go serve the Lord. I don't know how many guys that when I went, when I left to go to Bible college, there were at least a couple other guys that had been working at GM and just said, no, we're leaving that behind. We want to go serve the Lord. We want to go do what's right. We want to get in the battle. So this is the group of people God was looking through for one who would turn from his sin and turn to him and fight the battle. One who would be a soldier in his army. But what's the problem? You know, when you think about looking through that list, you're looking through a bunch of sinners who are concentrated on just pleasing themselves and building their own empire. Their biggest desire, it seems like, was to accumulate as much wealth and as power as they possibly could at anybody else's expense. It's among this group of people that God looked for a man who would take a stand for him. You know what God was looking for, the type of person he was looking for to accomplish this job? You don't need to turn there, but 2 Chronicles 16:9 says this, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." God is still looking to and fro throughout the earth, and he's looking for somebody whose heart is perfect toward him that he can use. "I sought for a man among them." God's looking for men who will take a stand. I'm not saying that women should not take a stand, but God's looking for men who will take a stand, men who will become leaders in their families. You know what? One of the biggest problems I've seen in my ministry, men are not leading their families. Wives are leading the families. You can see it over and over and over again. The wives are in control. Men are submissive, and wives take over, and they say, "I'm running this family." And they might say that they don't, but you can see it in the families. Wives are running families. And God is looking for men who will stand up and say, "I'm going to lead my family. I'm going to make sure my family's in church. I'm going to make sure my family's educated right. I'm going to make sure my family's members of a church. I'm going to obey God as a father." But men are not taking a stand for Christ. What's he asking of this servant? "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it." That I should not destroy it. God has a task. He's searching to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for somebody whose heart is perfect toward him, and he's looking for people who will make up the hedge. The hedge was a fence. I've never been to Africa, but I've seen pictures of tribes. They live out in the wildlands, and all around their village they have this hedge. It's a wall of briars and thorns and all different types of things. And what are they trying to keep out? They're trying to keep out wild animals. They're trying to keep out invaders that might come in. And this hedge was a fence. It could have just been briars and things, but it was a fence or a wall that was used as a barrier to keep out these wild animals, invaders, and invaders out of the city. Here it's used in reference to an invading army that is broken down part of the wall. Notice it says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge." In other words, build it up. Build it up. It's been broken down. You know, in our country, we see that the walls are being broken down to truth. The walls are being broken down in the churches. Families are being torn apart. And God is looking for men who will go in and fight the battle and build it back up. The wall had once stood, but now because of continual attacks, it's been breached. And he was looking for, in this picture, just think about it, the attack is on. The army is in the other army is invading. Part of the wall has been broken down, and he's looking for somebody who'll go and start building the wall. Does that sound like a job that it's not a fun job? The battle's still going. We've got a breach. I need some guys who'll go out there and fill that breach. And they would do that. The wall would start to be broken down, and they would get people, and they would rush in there, and they would start filling in the hole. Because they didn't want the invading army to get in. Do you think that was a job everybody wanted? Hey, go fill the hole. Where's the enemy pressing the attack? At that breach. That's right where the enemy is attacking. You know what, men? God is attacking men in our country and in our churches, and he's trying to tear them down. And God's wanting you to stand in the gap. He's wanting you to fight for your families, fight for your churches. And Satan's just saying, no, it's good. That's not too big of a hole. Don't worry about the hole. Problem is, there's people in the churches that are helping the enemy. There's people in churches that are helping the enemy. There's guys trying to throw stuff, rocks and stuff in the hole. And there's people who are critical in the church and people who are working against their own church. They become critical of pastors and they become critical of other people. They complain about other people in the church. And there's men trying to throw stuff in and they're out there just like, woo, let's throw that brick out. Oh, that brick. I don't like that brick. And people are working hard to fill the gap and people get critical and they start complaining about things. And then they're just tearing apart what they think they want to build. But the wall has to be repaired if the city is to repel the constant attack of the enemy. You know, God wasn't literally looking for a mason or a rocksmith. He's not worried. Is God worried about the physical walls of Jerusalem? Could he have, with one word, he can stop the enemy? With one word, he can keep the enemy from attacking. God's not looking for a mason. He's not worried about the physical walls of Jerusalem. He's able with one word to protect the walls from the adversary. What was the task that he was asking of these people? Well, the people of the city we've already seen have been besieged by sin and the cares of this world. And God was looking for a man who would build the people. The people were a mess. He was looking for a preacher or a Sunday school teacher or a deacon or a trustee or somebody that said, you know what? Instead of tearing things down, I'm going to start building. There's a need of men to take a stand. That man could be a pastor, Sunday school teacher, a father teaching his children. It could be church planter, but God's looking for people to take a stand. You know, and ladies, you're not off the hook either. Because God is looking for men, but he's also looking for godly women who will take a stand and teach their kids and teach their children the right way. Godly women who will be examples to their children. You know, families are under such attack today and families are being torn apart and kids leave the church on a regular basis. You know what, husbands? You need to love your wives in a godly manner. If you're a husband, you need to be an example of God's love to your wife and to your family. You need to love them like Christ loved the church. And sacrifice yourself for them. Not being dictators over your family, but loving your family. Caring for them. That they would see God's love through you. I think if more fathers led the families in a godly way, we'd see far less children going astray. And then mothers modeling that meek and quiet spirit that the Bible talks about. Too many Christian women do not model that meek and quiet spirit. And that has to be modeled not only in church, it needs to be modeled in the family. God sought for a man who would go in under the hardest conditions and build the people. Today, the task is still the same. It's still needed. The foe is pressing the attack. The walls are being broken down. And God's looking for somebody who says, Lord, I will take a stand. It's not popular. It's not what most people are doing, but I'm going to take a stand for the truth. And I'm going to start loving my wife the way I should. I'm start going to be the leader in my family the way I should. You know, we see today, if you've been following the news at all, in Canada, there are people who are tired of all the government mandates. They are tired of being told that they have to inject a vaccine into their body. And this isn't about whether you've had the vaccine or not. Don't get off track here. This isn't about whether you want the vaccine or not. That's your choice, whether you want that. But there's people that are saying, enough is enough of government tyranny. Enough is enough of the government saying, I can't go to a restaurant if I haven't been vaccinated. I can't travel to another country if I haven't been vaccinated. I have to wear a mask. You can't go here if you're not wearing a mask. All these things. And you know what people are doing? If you haven't seen it, they've blocked the Ambassador Bridge between Detroit and Windsor. And they've done that for days now. The Ambassador Bridge carries 25% of the trade between Canada and the U.S. And they said, we're not moving until you drop all these mandates. You know, in a different sense, those people are standing in the gap. They've been threatened with $100,000 fines. Many of them are truck drivers. They've been threatened with their license being taken away forever. Not only their truck driving license, but their personal driver's license being taken away. They've been threatened with being thrown in jail, and many of them are still saying, no, we're going to stand in the gap until the government does what's right and stops being dictators. And that's spread across the world. That's spread across the Canadian border. There are multiple Canadian border crossings that are now shut down because until the government will start listening to the people. In their minds, it was time to take a stand and do what was right. It's time to take a stand against the tyranny of their government, what they felt is tyranny. And I hear, I don't know if it's going to happen, but I hear there's rumblings about truckers blocking the Super Bowl or going to Washington to try and protest. I don't know. I think it would be fun if they blocked the Super Bowl and that they couldn't have it. That would be, you know, all these people have all this money invested in parties and stuff, and it's like they might have to just fellowship with each other. Maybe they could get out a Bible and have a Bible study instead of having a Super Bowl party, you know. If you can't have your Super Bowl party because the truckers block it, I don't really think it's going to happen there, but if you can't have your Super Bowl party, get out your Bible. Have a Bible study. But these are people that are standing in the gap. What a task to be asked to do in the middle of the battle. The enemy's pressing the attack. The wall is breached. And your bravest warriors, their bravest warriors are advancing toward the breach through the wall. And your task is to stand in the breach no matter what happens. It says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge they're building, but they're also standing in the gap. They're not only building, they're standing in the gap. You stand in the gap no matter if you're David and there's a Goliath in the way, or you're a father and society is pressing the attack on your family. You're standing in the gap. You're protecting your family from the wickedness of the world. And that's really hard today. I watched a little video where, you know, and I've heard about this before, but there's parents who don't want their kids to have the vaccine, and the schools are bribing them with Snickers bars. I'll give you a Snicker bar if you take the vaccine. This person said, that's like kidnapping my kids. I'll give you a Snickers bar if you get the vaccine. Kids don't know how to differentiate that. It sounds like an impossible job. Imagine there's an army. Imagine back in David's day, there's an army, and it's all the whole army's pressing toward that breach in the wall, and God says, I want one man who will just stand there and defend that breach. that seems impossible. It seems impossible. Let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 23. And there's some names here that I'm going to slaughter. I should have Pastor Josh read it. He's better at reading than me. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Ezrahite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. Wow. One man, 800. He slew at one time. If I didn't say it right, 2 Samuel 23, we're in verse 9 now. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of three mighty men which David, mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, the men of Israel were gone away. And he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And the people returned after him only to spoil. So one man, everybody else, the whole army flees. One guy stays. And the Lord gives him the victory because he said, you know what he said? I'm going to stand in the gap. There's a hole here. And I'm going to stand. I'm going to be the one to take up that, to fill that gap. Everybody else is gone. And the Lord is still looking for one man who will just stand in that gap. Verse 11, and after him was Shema, the son of Agi, the Harite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. Again, everybody's fleeing. You know, that's what happens many times when Satan presses attack. Many Christians flee. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. Can one man stand against an army alone? Can one person in a church make a difference? You know what most of us think? By our actions. We think, no, we don't believe it because we don't take that stand. But no one can on their own. He cannot do it. But over, we see in here, the Lord brought the victory. The Lord wrought a great victory. We can't do it on our own, but if we would take a stand with God, we can do great things. One man can make a difference in a church. You know how many pastors would love to just know that one man is with them? You know how many pastors out there are quitting today in the ministry? Many. They're leaving the ministry. Thousands of them. You know what most of them think? Nobody is standing with me. Everybody complains. Everybody is against me. And they leave the ministry. You want to keep a church going? Stand with your pastor. Stand with your pastor. Jonathan knew God's strength when he attacked a garrison of the Philistines' soldiers with his armor bearer. His comment to his armor bearer was, "There is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." And God is here searching for a man to stand in the gap against all odds and not move no matter what the enemy throws at him. You know, Satan is our enemy and he fights us on every front. He is fighting us on every front. He's trying to get us to stop. He's trying to discourage us. You know, his forces will wreak havoc on many. But their biggest worry was not the forces of Satan. got to turn back to Ezekiel 22. Give me a second here. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, verse 30, and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. How many people did he find? None. No, not a one. You know, and pastors often feel that way. Otherwise, they wouldn't be leaving. They feel like there's nobody else that wants this to go forward. Why am I even here? Nobody else seems to even want this to go forward. Satan has churches battling with each other. He doesn't have to fight churches and stand against churches that are battling amongst each other. He's got the churches destroyed already. And God here says, I didn't find anybody to make a stand. I found none. There's a hole in the ministry. There's a gap there. And men just say, that's okay. Pastor can take care of that too. Oh, there's a breach over there. That's okay. Satan's our enemy and fights us every day, but what did God say? I found none, therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. You know what? I think that's what God's saying about our nation today. I think that's what God's saying about many churches today. I haven't found anybody who would take a stand. I've over and over again in our nation, people have said, no, we're going to do our own things. We're going to try and make ourselves rich. We're going to worry about our own selves. And who cares about what God says? And God says, therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. And I think you can see that in our country today. Now, I'm not trying to confuse the difference between Israel and our country. They're not the same. But I think God's judgment for sin is still the same. God still judges sinful nations. The people had a bigger problem than Satan. The person they really need to fear was their own creator. Let me ask you, will you be willing to stand in the gap? I really think God is looking for people to intercede for the people. How much time do you spend praying for this ministry? How much time do you spend praying for lost souls in this area? In Psalm 106:23, it says there this, therefore he saith that he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. God was looking for somebody like Moses to intercede for the people, yet he could not find one. It only took Moses to intercede for the people for God not to destroy the people. But God here says, I found none. The biggest worry for these people was not the armies of Babylon or Nebuchadnezzar. It was the wrath of our Almighty God. Nebuchadnezzar was only an instrument of God's wrath against a nation who had turned its back on the Lord God of Israel. You know, our biggest worry isn't Russia or China as a nation. The news can make you think that that's our biggest worry. Our biggest worry is the wrath of God because of sin. The sin of the people in the church, the sin of pastors, the sin of the government. How does a nation go so far away from the truth? It takes the people as a whole. The government can't do it by itself. It's a whole nation full of people who are not willing to stand in the gap. not willing to stand in the gap in their families, not willing to stand in the gap in their church, not willing to stand in the gap in the school systems. God was looking for somebody to plead for the lost souls of Jerusalem, and God is still looking today for someone who would plead for lost souls. He's looking for a man who would place himself in the gap, and as Jude put it in verses 22 and 23, and on some having compassion, making a difference. Let me ask you, are you making a difference in the lives of people around you for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you making a difference in the lives of people in your church? Are you making a difference, a good difference, in the lives of your family? Are you calling out sin in your family? God doesn't call us to just be neutral. God calls us to call out sin. If we just let people just, even within our family, if we just let them go, and we don't call out sin, we're not standing in the gap. God is looking today for those who'd be willing to intercede for the lost. There are millions who've never heard. There are thousands in our area who have never probably heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Romans 10:14 says, "How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" The outcome, I've already said it, I sought for a man, but I found none. What happened that no one would stand up and build the people, that no one would intercede for the people? God's chosen people had forsaken him. They were busy with the cares of this life, too busy with everything going on in their lives to take a stand for him. They were worried about making money. They were worried about getting ahead. They were worried about sports. And I mean, I don't know how many people, I think I heard today was the Super Bowl. I heard it more because of the truckers thing. I think today's the Super Bowl. How many people are going to stay at home tonight from church because the Super Bowl's on? You know? What's more important? What's more important? God's chosen people had forsaken him. They were too busy with the cares of this life to take a stand for him. The prophets were in it for financial gain, and it deceived the people into thinking that what they were doing was good. The priests were not separated from unholy and profane practices. The princes were not interested in the welfare of the country, but their own personal gain. And the people followed their example of their leaders. Selfish pursuits became the number one driving force. The outcome was that God looked for a man and found none. There were men aplenty, yet there were no men willing to take a stand and stand out from the crowd and make a difference. When the call for laborers from men such as Jeremiah and Ezekiel came out, they fell on deaf ears. What will the outcome be today? Will Christians make up the hedge and stand in the gap? Our world isn't much different from the world of their day. The same indictments could be laid against many in our church and in our country. Is there one today that would be willing to take up the banner? You know, you look at the mission field, and our missionaries are getting older and older. Where are the young people taking up the banner? Where are the young people saying, "I will go. I will go to the mission field"? We've got a lot of gaps in our own church. We need men to take up a stand. The question I'll read a statement here. "Pastor, I don't know what God wants me to do, but I believe he's calling me to surrender myself to his will today." You know, maybe God would call you to the mission field. If that's not the case, What are you willing to do to stand in the gap? It may be a greater commitment to the church here. It may be membership. We need more people that attend the church to say, I'm going to stand in the gap. I'm going to be a part of the business of the church. I'm going to be a part of the ministry of the church. And you can't. The only way to have a greater part there is by, for some of you, to become members. Some of you, maybe it's reaching out to the lost around you. The question is, are you willing to do whatever Christ asks you to do today to fill that gap? Don't be like those men who made excuses and God says, I looked, but nobody would step up. Everybody's too busy. Every one of you can say, I'm too busy. Or some of you I've talked to and you were hurt before and you don't want to get hurt again. Just think of the Apostle Paul. If he said, I was hurt before and so therefore I'm just not going to step up again. You know, I hear that over and over again. Just think of Peter if he would have said, I've been hurt before. I just can't take it anymore. God is looking for men who say, you know what? Like Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I will stand in the gap in my family. I will stand in the gap in my church. I will stand in the gap in my community. Lord, I pray that you'd help us today because, Lord, I fall far short of being that person who will stand in the gap. Lord, it's easy to be fearful of others. It's easy to be fearful of witnessing. It's easy to just go along and let things go by. But, Lord, I know you've called each one of us to stand in the gap, to make a difference in the lives of our family and our church. So, Lord, as we come into this invitation time, I'm challenging these people to make a commitment today to a greater commitment to you. Lord, I don't know what that looks like in each person's life, but I ask for them to be obedient as you work in their hearts and their lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.